Praise the Lord, missionary saints. It is a delight to be the people of an almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the media seems to be overwhelmed by a certain wedding that happened across the pond. And now every other day they got to put pictures of this new princess and this other princess and how they hold their feet when they're sitting in a chair and how angle their hats are and who stands behind whom and next to whom. But this morning we are all sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're valuable in His sight. Lord, we thank You for the price that You paid for us. We are not here by happen chance, but You've chosen us to be Your sons and daughters. And we celebrate the goodness of walking in Your purposes and Your design, for You have positioned us for this season, O Lord, that the world might know You. Purposed us for this season, O Lord, that Your glory might be known in the heavens, and out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every people will be a folk called for Your name, for Your will, Your purposes. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 22. It's certainly a privilege for Sherry and me to be with you. She wasn't able to come the last two visits. This is my third time here in 2 months. Here the Wednesday before Easter. Not that you have to remember, but I do. Able to be here the Wednesday before Easter, and what a treat that was to be with you then. And then to be here just a couple of weeks ago, celebrating some good things then as we worship the Lord, and then here again today. I kind of feel like I'm one of the members of the church here. I just don't get here every service, but I'm doing my best to get close to that. So you all make us feel so welcome here, and what a delight in it it is to be with you. This season, your congregation has been exploring the journey that you're on, a season of prayer and fasting in the Word. When you focus on His purposes and His plan, He always draws you along that journey. It's impossible to not be closer to Him when you're focusing on His purposes. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about that journey, a specific part of that journey, the journey that we have to realize that we have to live like refugees on this journey. We have to live like refugees. I know that's a politically charged term in our world today, with people building walls and having ICE agents. And now there's debate whether we should get rid of these ICE agents, people that are watching the borders. And I know such a politically charged term, refugees. But we are here in the house of the Lord this morning realizing that we do not belong here. We're just passing through. We live like refugees. So by the time the service is over, I pray that all of us embrace our refugee status and recognize that we're on this journey together, and there's a life to be lived as refugees, and there's a purpose for this season. We're not just walking in the wilderness waiting to go to heaven. We are living according to His purposes and His plan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and following, living like refugees. Living as refugees. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. We thank You, Lord, that we have not been abandoned by You. As we've mentioned already in this service today, You have forgiven us of much, and because of that, we worship You. We worship You with a hungry and thankful heart. We ask You this day, Lord, give us the courage and the strength to embrace our refugee status and to not resist it. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Living as refugees. People ask me frequently, "Where are you from?" This happened in the airport as we landed in Milwaukee yesterday because we had bought our tickets separately. Sherry and I were on the same flight from Chicago to Milwaukee, but She was flying from Dallas to Chicago, and I was flying from Bangor, Maine to Chicago so we could get here. So I was sitting there waiting for her to deplane, and the person asked me, well, where are you from? I said, well, right now, I'm from Dallas. He says, that sounds strange. We just asked the lady sitting next to us where she was from, and she said the exact same thing. Right now, I'm from Dallas. She says, that sounds a little funny for somebody to say right now. If you ask me where I'm from, well, right now, I'm from Racine, Wisconsin. You know, I was at the Delta Hotel. That's where I'm from. They asked me when I got there yesterday, have you ever stayed with us? Yes, 2 weeks ago, I was right here. I'm from the Delta here in Racine, and then before that I was from the Chicago airport, and from before that I was from the Bangor airport, and from before that I was at a camp meeting in Maine, and before that I was from the Dallas airport, and from before that we ask, where are you from? When people ask me that question, I have to look at their face and say, well, which answer do you want? Do you want to know where I was born or all the journey that's gotten me here? People even will send off a cheek swab to find out their DNA testing and perhaps gain glimpses of their past. You see, we think perhaps if we know a little better clue of our ethnicity, our nationality, that a piece of us came from Sweden and a piece of us came from Angola and a piece of us came from Ireland and a piece of us came from Argentina. Perhaps we would know who to root for in the World Cup, and perhaps we would know what food to eat and what kind of traditions we should celebrate and which holidays we could add to our calendar so we could party more often, perhaps. You see, people look back to their roots as we celebrate our heritage, trying to find meaning, trying to find purpose, trying to find an identity, particularly in an unsettled world. This morning I want to help us ask a more important question than where are you from? An even more important question is, where are you going? Sherry and I travel a little bit. Fortunately, I don't have to rent a GPS now for my car. When I rent a car, I don't know why they keep asking me, knowing that we all have cell phones now. I never, ever, ever put in the cell phone where I used to be. Cell phone doesn't care where I used to be. It wants to know where I'm going. Amazing thing, it doesn't matter where you used to be. If you put in your destination, it can tell you how to get from here to there. And if you're like me, every once in a while you pull off the route to get an unsweet tea at McDonald's. In our advanced geezerhood, that's what I drink now, is unsweet tea, as I get off the route at McDonald's. And it says, get back on the route. Get back on the path. Well, this morning, it's not so important where you have come from. The question is where are you going toward? Amen. Well, Brother Littles, my life has been hard. That's in your past. Where is your tomorrow? Amen. Which way are you facing? People say hindsight's 20/20. No, it's not. There's a reason, someone said yesterday, there's a reason why your windshield is larger than your rearview mirror. So many people are looking through a pinhole at tomorrow while their neck is twisted around looking out their back window at the past. But Jesus is here calling you into a tomorrow. Now, we can be angry about what other people did to us yesterday. Anybody in the house can say someone's been bad to you yesterday? Sorrow has been in your past. You've lost a home, lost a job, lost family, lost friends. You can focus on that, or you can say, Lord Jesus, you have a purpose for my tomorrow, and I am persuaded that it's more important for me to see where you're taking me than to lament all of the horrors of yesterday. We tend to ask that question only at New Year's, but I I believe the Lord wants to ask us on this journey that we're on, and our prayer, our fasting, our spending time in the Word is more important to ask, Lord, where are you taking me, than to explain what happened to me. We live in a world that's almost, our thoughts are controlled by psychological and sociological processes. We want to understand why things happened. How did I turn out this way? If I can sit on a couch someplace, or I can talk with a friend long enough, maybe I can understand how come I turned out this way. Brothers and sisters, the price has already been paid on Calvary's hillside to give you a better tomorrow than the past that you had. The price has already been paid if, like Paul, we press towards the mark of our high calling, which is in Christ. So I give you a choice this day. Will you back your way into eternity? See, that's what happens when you back your way into eternity. Or we can turn around and say, Lord, I put behind me the yesterdays, and I'm going to take every step with purpose into the tomorrows. You see, human beings, we seek the garden while we fight the curses. We seek the garden and we fight the curses. Sin brought curses that broke the blessings God had promised. Human beings, in Genesis 1:28, God blessed the people and asked them to bless all of creation. He asked them to take care of the whole earth, to be fruitful and to multiply and extend their dominion and fill the whole earth. That was God's plan. The Garden of Eden was relatively small, but he says, you're going to fill this up and you're going to start extending the borders. Have you ever seen one of those houses where you can see the first house and then you can see an addition and an addition and an addition and an addition? That's the way God wanted the Garden of Eden to be. As human beings filled the garden and generations were born, the garden would be expanded and the beauty of the garden would just eventually fill up the whole earth. But God put one rule in place, and I've probably said it here before. It's not the numbers of rules that's the problem, because even if there's only one rule, we'll break it. The rule there was don't eat of that tree. If the one rule today were you must wear socks with your shoes, there would be people running around angry about toe textiles. They would be livid about the meanness of a God that makes you wear socks. Limits my freedom and my choices. My piggies want to be free. You see, it doesn't matter the rules. What matters is that we can't control our own heart. God asks us to subdue and control the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. We can't control the birds because we can't control us. We can't control the animal kingdom because we can't control us. Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19 puts it this way. After Adam and Eve ate of that tree, it says, cursed is the ground for your sake. I'm going to put a curse on the ground. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth for you, and you'll eat of the herb of the field. It's the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. It's interesting to me that the curses came on the serpent that got a quadruple amputation. Curse came on the serpent. Curse came on the ground, and weeds were produced. God did not curse human beings. He just made them suffer the consequences of their sin. I think this is an important distinction. So many times we feel like we are cursed, that God cursed us. He pointed his finger at us and shot daggers at us. Oh, no, he gives us the possibility of walking in him and in his purposes or walking in the consequences of sin. When we have sinned, we've fallen short of his glory and we reap the consequences of those sins. God did not curse you. You are made in his image. He doesn't curse his image. He doesn't curse us because we are designed to be like him. We're designed to talk with him. We're designed to celebrate his presence. That's how God designs us to be. But instead, the ground was cursed. The snake was cursed, and we suffer the consequences of our sin. Women suffer the consequence and still continue to suffer the consequences with childbirth that's painful and even the greater sorrow of rearing children who make choices that are not in line with the way they've been raised, perhaps. And women suffer sexism, as we see in Genesis 3. And men suffer the ground's curse. It's somehow easier to raise weeds than it is wheat. We suffer sorrow as we eat and sweat of labor and being returned to the ground. All of these are the consequences of the fall. The shadow of the fall is on us. God, however, has given us a loving response today as he gave them on that day. He kicked them out of the garden. At first, that sounds like a bad thing. You got to leave home. You got to become a refugee. Adam and Eve were the first refugees, and since that time, we've all been refugees. We're looking for a place, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking for a place whose foundation is not made with man's hands. We are refugees. Amen. Kicked them out of the garden because he loved them so much. How horrible it would have been for Adam and Eve to eat of the garden of the tree of knowledge and good and evil that brought sin into their lives, and then eat of the tree of life and live forever with sin. Right. You don't want to live forever the way you are right now. Amen. I don't want to live forever like this. I don't want to live forever seeing life continue to decay and live forever knowing the evil and knowing the sorrow that I've experienced. One day I want to be born anew and afresh on the other side. One day walk on streets of gold where I will be at home. You see, I have never been at home here. People ask me, do you enjoy Dallas, Brother Littles, where we're living right now? And I said, yeah, there are parts of it I enjoy. There are parts of St. Louis I enjoyed, and there are parts of Delaware that I enjoyed, and there are parts of New York that I enjoy, and there are parts of Racine, Wisconsin that I enjoy. But I'll tell you what I'll really enjoy. I'll really enjoy being in the presence of the Lord forever. I'll really enjoy with God's people, being with God's people for eternity. I'll really enjoy being able to worship him without getting tired. I'm going to get a kick out of that. But meanwhile, I am walking from place to place, sensing that something is deeply wrong, sensing that I don't belong here, sensing that I'm a scattered person, and that we are a homeless people. We work so hard to protect everything we've got. And the more people have, the more protection they buy. Really important people, they hire people to drive their bulletproof cars. And they hire people to be in front of them in another bulletproof SUV, and people behind them in another bulletproof SUV, and people to run in front of them and check out if there's any danger, because the more you have, the more you got to protect. There aren't too many people that live in cardboard boxes that have security systems. Did you set the alarm, honey? Nah, not much reason to. Everything I got, I hauled out of a trash bin. Nobody's coming to take it away from me. I think we can rest secure in that. We're busy protecting what we have because we know that we are homeless. People who are forced into physical refugee status always want to take some little token from home, something that reminds them, this used to be my grandfather's, or this used to be my grandmother's, and I can't ever go back, but I've got this token of where I was. Brothers and sisters, we are homeless here, but we are headed for a home in which we will never have to depart. We're headed for a place where we will be in His presence forever. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But you see, here is the challenge. Here is the challenge. The challenge is for us to look forward to God's purposes or to fight the curses and the consequences of sin. You will be looking in one direction or the other, and this is how you know where you are this morning. You will know which direction you're facing for the rest of this message. That's yesterday, and that's tomorrow, okay? When you look at your prayers, is your prayer list about fighting the consequences of sin, health concerns, anxieties, fears and pains, worries? That's fighting yesterday's consequences. Or as we look forward and say, Lord, I know where my resting place is going to be in your presence for eternity. So today I may have some pain and difficulty and sorrow, but that does not control me. What pain comes to me from yesterday is not affecting the way I walk. I walk looking forward to your purposes and forward to your design and forward to your plan. You see, tomorrow I get to witness to your goodness. Tomorrow I get to tell somebody how much you love me and how much you have cared for me. And I get to witness on how much you love them. So this morning I give you two ways to look at July the 1st, 2018. I give you two ways to look at this month. Will you look at this month as fighting off the consequences of sin? Stuff that brings us death, the stuff that brings us sorrow, stuff that brings us separation from each other, from God, and from nature. Or will you look at 2018 as an opportunity to take one more step forward into God's purposes? You see, this journey that the Lord has you all on in prayer and fasting and the Word, the primary task of that journey is to make sure you're facing tomorrow, not facing yesterday. Adam and Eve had to put on fig leaves the next morning. And the morning after that, they put on the garments that were handed to them by God, each day reminding them of what they left behind, walking out of the garden, walking out of the promises, and becoming a refugee, remembering what used to be. And pretty soon, the next generation, you have one brother killing another brother on how to worship. Should we worship with a fast beat or a slow beat? Fast beat, fast beat, fast beat. Kill all the people that worship with slow beat, slow beat, slow beat. Should we worship with music or not? Music, music, music. Kill all those that don't worship with music. Should we stand when we worship, sit when we worship, lay down on the aisle when we worship? My way is the right way. Kill all the rest of them. You see, the first worship war was between the first generation of people that had belly buttons. Because you see, we were tuned to hear God's presence. And outside of the garden, we fight with each other and ourselves because we were belong for the native state of God's presence. But after Calvary's hillside, brothers and sisters, what was sung about so capably before, we can turn around instead of fighting the curses and the consequences of sin. I don't live in their shadow anymore. I live in the light of eternity. Today, you got a choice. Will you live in the shadow of yesterday, or will you live in the light of tomorrow? I'm begging with you this morning. Turn around and face tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Face tomorrow in the name of Jesus. He has a purpose and a design for you. We use medicine and science. You might tell I have a wee bit of a cold. Got one in Maine, so I took a little bit of NyQuil. I took the daytime one, even though I went to sleep last night because I didn't want to be groggy this morning. So I don't mind taking a little bit of medicine to fight the consequences of sin, the colds that come our way. My mother is on chemo, as we mentioned earlier. The medicine and the science, we do the best we can, perhaps, to avoid some of the things. Sometimes we use entertainment to avoid reality. We use music or sports figures or movies or books. We use art museums. We use all kinds of things to avoid the reality for just a moment. Some people deny God's rights and claims on us so we can deny God's love for us and do our own things. We can spend our days daydreaming about when life will get easier. Well, someday I'll finish grammar school and be in high school where it's great. Someday I'll graduate from high school where I can be an adult and I can do what I want. Oh, that's a real lie, isn't it? Now you got to work for lunch instead of play for recess. Oh, I'll graduate from college and I'll get a real job, and then you find out what real bosses are. And I heard some people say, well, I'm going to get away from my mama. I'm going to join the Marines. I'm tired of my mama telling me what to do. I'm going to join the Marines. Well, you've never seen a mama like you've seen a drill instructor. Oh, I'll climb up the ladder where I can be the boss, or I'll start my own business. That way I can go from working 8 hours a day to working 16 hours a day. Or someday I'll retire and my golden years will come, and you'll find out you give the gold to the doctors when they put gold in your teeth and joints are replaced with titanium and all other kinds of parts. Keep looking for the golden age and you will never get there. Because when you're looking for the golden age, what you're doing is you're trying to undo yesterday's consequences. Consequences of the sin and consequences of my sins. Trying to undo, trying to run away definitions from my past. Trying to run away from what happened to me and try to run away from my color or my age or even today in our world. Running away from our gender because I can't even be satisfied with the gender I was born. Okay, I'm not making fun of that. I'm speaking to how horrific our world has become, where they're trying to run away from where they've been. What they're looking for is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we can stop looking to the first page of our life and start looking towards the last page of your life. I know some of you have had a hard way to walk. I know sin has brought pain from you and to you. But brothers and sisters, this day, you can stop looking backwards and you can start looking forward. And from now on, what's important is the next step. What's important is the next moment as you read His Word, as you fast, as you pray, and as we worship together. The Lord is turning us around. Get back on the path. Get back on the path. You know, sometimes I pull aside when I'm going someplace with that GPS and I pull into a parking lot to get lunch, and finally it just gets confused. It says, I don't even know where you are. Just get back on the path. If you get back on the path, then I can get you straightened out, but you're wandering around in a parking lot someplace. That happens in my spirit sometimes. Because I know he has a purpose and a plan for my life. Take detours and get off track a little bit, but the Spirit continues to call us. You know what I do to my cell phone when she starts talking to me that way? I mute her. I say, oh, shut up. I'll get back on the path when I want to. Does anybody else talk to the GPS in a way that doesn't make sense if anybody's listening in? Like it's a real person telling you to get back on path? Shut up. I'll get back when I want to. But this morning, the Lord is calling all of us. Calling all of us. I have a step that you can take forward. Amen. Instead of backing Amen. Into tomorrow. Yesterday may not have been good. Last month may not have been good. I don't know, maybe 1970 wasn't good for some of you. I don't know where those stories go back. But today, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. I will put my faith in Him and my confidence in Him. Oh, it's so sad. We sung about the Lord making the sun to shine. We have more faith in the consequence of God's word, that is, that the sun will shine. We have more confidence that the sun will shine tomorrow than we have in God who spoke the sun into existence. I have not yet gone to bed afraid that the sun won't be there in the morning. Dear God, that might have been the last day the sun shines. I'm so afraid that tomorrow it'll run out of gas and it's going to go dark. There won't be any sun tomorrow. No, I get up in the morning knowing the sun's going to be there. I have more faith in the sun than I have in the sun creator. That reminds me, Jim, you got some more turning around to do. You got some more reorienting to do. Heaven and earth will pass away. In other words, you can put more faith in Christ than you can put in the sun to shine tomorrow. You can put more faith in Christ than you can that rain falls downward. I have more faith in gravity than I do in God. I have not yet laid down in bed and strapped myself in. Oh, I'm so afraid. Sometime in the middle of the night, gravity is going to get tired. It's going to let go, and I'll find myself getting whapped in the head by that ceiling fan. I'm so worried. Baby, here, kiss me now, because I'm strapping myself in, and I won't get to hug you anymore, because I don't know. This might be the last day that gravity has control on me, so I'm buckling my torso. I'm buckling my waist. Would you buckle my feet? Because I don't want my feet sticking straight up, because gravity's going to give way. No, I pretty much collapse into bed and trust that gravity will keep holding me down. And now in my early onset of geezerhood, it's holding more pieces down than I wanted it to. I have more faith in gravity than I do in God. One day a servant of the prophet came by and said, oh, prophet, you better be worried, because I just looked out the window and there are enemies all around. Now the prophet might have been sipping tea with some of his buddies there. But he went to prayer and said, Lord, would you open my servant's eyes? Notice the prophet didn't look out the window, did he? Kept sipping tea, talking to his friends, sent the servant, why don't you go look one more time? He was not praying for a miracle for the Lord's army to be there. He was praying for the miracle that his servant's eyes be opened. He did not have to ask for protection and the resources of an almighty God. He was confident that the God who had brought him there would be the God who kept him there. So he said, servant, go look one more time, and this time I pray the Lord let you see what's really going on. Oh, brothers and sisters, when our mind is consumed with the sorrows from yesterday, instead of walking into his presence, I pray right now, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord open our eyes and we could see what's really going on. Oh, Lord, you have set before us an open door, a door which nobody can close and nobody else can open, and we will walk boldly into your purposes and boldly into your promises. So we have a choice today. We can live like God's diaspora people, live like God's people on the mission, live called as light to the nations, a contrast people, or we can live trying to avoid yesterday's pain. If you're trying to achieve status, that came from yesterday. In eternity, you don't need status. You're his forever. If you're looking for love in all the wrong places, that's from yesterday. He already loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt. The cross should tell you that. So if you're looking for affection, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for a place where there is no more sorrow or pain, if you're looking for a place where you can quit worrying about what happened to you or you did yesterday, that's yesterday controlling you. If you're looking for something to live for, if you're bored to death or you're freaked out of your skull, that's the yesterday shadows chasing you down like a hound. But if you'll just turn around and set your eyes on Jesus, brothers and sisters, he has it all settled. It is finished. It is finished. And he has a purpose for us every single day. Just walk in those presence. Abraham called out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham, just start walking. Well, how am I going to know when I get there? You'll know. Until then, just walk. Abraham was a refugee. Jacob was a refugee. Joseph was a refugee. Then all of Israel. Moses was a refugee in the wilderness. Israel was in exile. Jesus was a refugee, wasn't he? Before he was two, he was... Well, matter of fact, his mommy and daddy were refugees when he was born. And like a refugee, he had to be born wherever there wasn't somebody else. You see, refugee centers are always crowded. Jesus had to be born in a cave, in a manger was where he was placed. And then he had to run away to Egypt to be protected and then brought home after a king died. Hebrews chapter 11, we see all the lives of the faithful. They were all scattered people and they were all homeless people. Brothers and sisters, we are refugees. The question is will we live our days trying to get meaning from yesterday and hold on to whatever products I've managed to wrestle out of life? Or can I turn around and say, Lord, I trust you with my today, and I trust you with my tomorrow, and you've washed away all of my sorrow from yesterday. So the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. I will walk with you in your purposes for eternity. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. This is the response to the disciples' questions. The disciples were looking backwards when they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's a backward-looking question. David used to be a great king. Solomon expanded the borders even further. Are you going to restore our kingdom like that? And Jesus said, that's not your business. But here's your business. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses where? At home, in the county, across the state, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, where Jesus says, I'm naming you as my refugee people, and you're going to be a powerful refugee people, because I got to send you to the four corners of the earth, because I have people who are not yet my people, who are going to be my people. The three wise men came to Bethlehem. An Ethiopian eunuch was a refugee. The centurion with a sick servant was a refugee. The Syrophoenician woman was a refugee. All of those at Pentecost were refugees. Cornelius was of the Italian band that had came there and sent a preacher to him, and he became a convert as a refugee. So now that I've forced it into your face, that you're a refugee, you're a scattered people. How are you going to live? Are you going to live protecting what's in your basket? Are you going to live trying to find meaning from yesterday? Are you going to live trying to find out who you were? Are you going to turn around and say, Lord Jesus, show me the next step to walk in your spirit. I will pursue that will and purpose. Pain may come our way. Pain is a shadow from yesterday. Heart disease may come our way. We'll take medicine for it. We'll trust science for it. May get angioplasty or even a bypass. But we are not going to spend our life energy resisting arthritis, resisting heart disease or brain tumors. When those things come our way, we're going to trust God. We're going to seek for prayer. We're going to trust in science where we need to. But all along the way, we are not fighting back yesterday's consequences of sin. We're looking forward to, Lord, what's in front of us. Is there another person I can witness to? Is there another person I can teach a Bible study to? Is there another person I can pray for, Lord? Is there some new person going to come to the job at work? Or are you taking me to a new job so I can witness to your goodness? I'm going to live forward. I'm not going to walk backward. So my question today for you, Are you trying to reverse the consequences of the fall? Or are you walking boldly into the promises of eternity? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. We sung about this earlier as well. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. In other words, death dies. Death gets put down. O death, where is your stinger? O grave, O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us what? Gives us what? Gives us victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I would be satisfied if that were the end of the chapter, if that was the end of Paul's statement. But Paul says, wait a minute. I got one more sentence for you. I didn't give you this story of the resurrection so you could feel strong. I didn't give you the story of the resurrection so you could look forward. I give you the story of the resurrection, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many times have you witnessed to your neighbor? 300 times? Witness to him one more time. How many times have you prayed for your lost loved one? 1,000 times? Pray one more time. How often have you sought God's will for your city? 100 times? Pray 100 more times in the coming weeks and months. Why? Because we're marching forward in God's purposes and forwards in God's design. We are not going to lament what didn't happen. We're not going to lament what walked away. We're not going to lament where we failed, and we're not going to lament where we suffer. We're turning around knowing that our rapture is on its way. But until that day, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death loses. Grave has no victory. The law has no power. But grace be in Christ, we are resurrected on that day. Let's stand together, shall we? You may really like the home that you're in. Sherry and I just moved into our new home just 8 weeks ago or so. We're kind of liking it. A whole lot better than what we were living in the 4 months or 5 months prior to that. And frankly, in my opinion, better than what we lived in the 20 years before that. But that's just temporary housing. Last 3 weeks, this wrist has been hurting me for some reason. Don't know what it is. I have to resist the thought that says, well, is that the beginning of rheumatoid arthritis like your daddy has? I can't help but have that thought every once in a while. But I have a choice today. Do I spend my days looking for more sources of pain and fixing those pains? Examining what I did right or wrong with a child that walked away from him? Or do I turn around and say, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I'm walking today. And my eyes are on a distant place. I can almost hear the trumpet already. Whew. Anybody else? Can you almost hear the trumpet sounding? Now, he could come today. He could come today. And what I have planned for camp meeting won't matter a lick at that point. He could come today and I'm ready to go. But if he gives me 6 more hours, I'm going to walk the best I can in those 6 hours. If I get to lay my head to bed tonight, I'm going to lay it down and say, Lord, this day belonged to you. Thank you for it. And if you let me live tomorrow, gravity will still have its work. I'm not buckling in. Sun's going to be there in the morning. I'm going to trust it. And tomorrow's going to be a new day in you. But I refuse to look to yesterday while I'm walking backward into tomorrow. I'm casting my eyes on Jesus. There's someone in the house this morning that shames from yesterday has such a shadow on you that you have trouble trusting Jesus. Someone in the house, something that you have done, feel like that God can't use you anymore moving forward because of the sins of yesterday. Brothers and sisters, that's a lie from the enemy himself. His blood is powerful enough to cover every multitude of sin. The Redeemer is in the house this morning. The Redeemer is in the house this morning. And when he takes away your sin, he turns you around and you face another direction. That's what repentance means. Repentance means you're not looking that way anymore. You're looking that way from now on. Maybe there's a failed ministry in your past. I don't know if I've said it here before, but I say it frequently. One of the most painful things I know is the shards of crashed dreams. Dreams are like blown glass artwork. Dreams refract light that goes through it and casts off rainbows of colors. But when those dreams crash to the ground, they break. And like shards of glass, I have to walk barefooted on yesterday's dreams cutting into my feet. But brothers and sisters, if you'll turn around and see that your best day is the one that's in front of you. Brother Little's my age. I don't know. I don't really care about that. What I want to know is, are you facing the right direction at this age? Brother Little's, you don't know where I come from. No, I don't. He does, but I know where you can be headed. I know if you just turn around and say, Lord, everything is behind me. I put it behind me by the blood of Calvary, and now I'm looking forward to what's in front of me. I may have pain in this body, but I'm not going to live to fight the pain. I'm going to live to the glory of God. I might have sorrows from yesterday, but they will not own me. The joy of the Lord will be my strength from now and forevermore. I take a step into the future in faith. I take a step into the future with God's purposes and God's design. Every day from now on belongs looking forward. Anyone else? Anyone else got to turn their back on something this morning? Anyone else have something you need to put behind you and reach forward? Anyone else?
just been haunted this week by some monster from yesterday? That monster has to die at this altar if you'll just turn around. That monster bleeds out right now if you turn around. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk boldly into tomorrow. I will not protect my backside. You are my buckler and my shield, my rear guard. I trust you and I will move forward with your promises and your design. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. Lord, my sister right now, she turns around and looks forward with your will, your purposes, and your design. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray.